This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, Tuesday the 21st of June, and thank you for staying tuned to The Morning Run. Now, we keep hearing about the plight or the lack thereof of workers, and this is because the recruitment of foreign workers from Bangladesh continues to be delayed over policy squabbles regarding companies appointed to conduct the process. According to the MOU signed between the governments of Malaysia and Bangladesh, the host country, which is us, will appoint 25 companies to recruit foreign workers. Now, this has sparked an outcry among the labour industry in Bangladesh, who have lobbied for open market access to all recruitment agencies.
In the latest developments, the Minister of Human Resources, Datuk Sri M. Saravanan, said that the government will accredit a further 250 companies to assuage concerns over monopolistic practices. However, the government will only deal directly with the 25 companies initially appointed. Bangladeshi officials have also disputed assertions by the Human Resources Minister that the 25 companies were jointly appointed by the two governments.
So what are the implications of these recruitment delays for the Malaysian economy, and why is this taking so long? Joining us to weigh in on this issue is Kaw Yew Ling, economist at Sergi Enam Advisors. Good morning, Yew Ling. Now, like what we just said a minute ago, the Human Resource Minister, Datuk Sri Saravanan, insists that the Malaysian government will only deal with 25 accredited agencies in recruiting labour from Bangladesh. What do you think is the rationale for this policy decision?
Well, morning. If we go by what's printed in the news, there's a clear wish to have things in a number of hands. I think I always find it interesting to look at the numbers just to get some perspective. You know, if we have 25 companies handling 1 million to 1.5 million workers, which is the number that's talked about, it's quite a big thing, because it does raise eyebrows that each company can handle 40 to 60,000 workers each. And of course, if we pay attention to what's in the Bangladesh news as well, there's also talk that allegations that these companies are related. And there's also the fact of Malaysia having one system actually behind these 25. So there's even further concentration alleged.
So fast forward now, the minister has said that now further 250 companies will receive accreditation under the umbrella from the original 25. Why do we need to put a number to it? Why can't we just have open market access?
Well, this seems to be Malaysia's approach, that there are these G2G sort of and big B2B deals. Of course, we're not having a great deal of clarity from Malaysia side, because all these seem to be secret agreements. There's no publication, so we are relying a lot on what's being reported, or at least questions that are arising in the migrant origin countries. And of course, Malaysia's in such a situation that I guess they're being forced to answer these things across the headlines. Mm-hmm. But as you point out, the 10 are subsidiary to the same 25. So basically, it's really, still under the control of 25, if not even fewer alleged. And it's now further explained that it's important to have 25 because they have a key role to uphold Malaysia's compliance to the International Labour Organization standards, which have been found, at least wanting in the past, or at least now it's going to be different because Malaysia is signing up to these.
So Yew Ling, let's say we really want to protect the rights of these foreign workers. What's the best model that we should actually be adopting?
Well, I think having one or under five or under 25, I mean, this is really a tough situation to explain. And then especially to people like Bangladesh. So, should we have, if it's not 25, or is it one portal? Should we, in fact, not even have 5 or 10 portals if that's the case? I mean, 10 would mean, 100 to 150,000 customers each, which already seems a lot for clients for any business to have, frankly. But of course, there's also a completely contrasting approach where the immigration, or human resource, or whichever one is handling it, makes it an open system where you apply directly to the government agency, then having these sort of, one-stop gatekeepers, which of course happens in other countries, Singapore or Hong Kong or wherever, where you do direct? I mean, if I give an example of elsewhere, do you need to privatize it or should it just be direct and you should just staff up the government agencies directly?
So Yuling, you explained potential different pathways people are doing around the region. But I guess the central question is, what is the criteria of selection for the agency? Do we know that?
Well, unfortunately, no. And again, we sort of left reading the Bangladesh newspapers, which do offer a lot of details, actually. I mean, they have been outright denying what Malaysia has been saying. You know, and they are alleging that Malaysia had no basis for selecting 25. And in fact, there's even further allegations. Again, I highlight that these are allegations that some of these have no experience and they can even give us numbers that some have handled, you know, X, Y, Z, just a few hundred of applications. So I think Malaysia needs to refute this clearly. Mm. That would be a lot better. And of course, it seems surprising. And what is actually consistent is that if we look at the recent way that Bangladesh has been responding, or at least certain parties in Bangladesh have been responding, in fact, it's very similar to what responses they already gave in 2018. So it seems very consistent on Malaysia's side at the very least.
So then what does this say about the communication between the two governments? And does this then mean that there is no resolution in sight?
Well, I think Malaysia seems to be, or at least alleged to be, consistent in its approach over the last 4 years, if not even longer. Bangladesh seems to be increasingly discontented, I would say, because, you know, I mean, I'm just quoting what was written there, right? During bilateral negotiations, Bangladesh had proposed the names of 745 recruiting agencies, but Malaysia selected only 10 without providing any basis. And then fast forward 2022, the numbers are different. Bangladesh proposed even more. So it sounds as though Bangladesh wants you know, thousands of recruiting agents on, and Malaysia has expanded their view from 10 to 25. So, you know, there's obviously a gap in expectations there that is hard to sort of, you know, square. You know, if you look at, and it's not just Bangladesh, actually, I mean, with regard to Indonesia labor side, I mean, we've also faced denials from Indonesia about what Malaysia says has been agreed bilaterally. And there's also been leak of documents to the Malaysian media from apparently Indonesia side. And again, you know, just to highlight, Malaysia has also held secret documents with Indonesia's labor situation.
But Yuling, we are in a TINA situation, isn't it? There is no alternative.
Well, I think it does appear that Indonesia, Bangladesh, they are getting quite serious about having, I guess, you know, more open system. Maybe that's how they've been evolving their thinking. They're also concerned about compliance to their rules, because just, you know, remember the context that, you know, Indonesia, Bangladesh, other countries have actually passed regulations to protect foreign worker standards. So Malaysia's in this, I think we've talked about it before, Malaysia's in this pincer. It's not just places like the US and other countries which are upgrading their labor standards. It's also where we rely on. And it's quite interesting to note that some ministers in Malaysia says that we need to source from elsewhere where there is less, where apparently there's less requirements than even Indonesia or maybe even Bangladesh about expectations. So we're kind of finding easier ways to do things.
But what's the point of sourcing elsewhere when our customers and consumers will demand the same exacting standards?
Well, it seems as though Malaysia is saying that, yes, we're going to do ILO, but then maybe they have disagreement with the expectations of the likes of Indonesia, Bangladesh, that there is more free market. So maybe they are saying that, yes, we'll do ILO, but we're going to, you know, yeah, we have different bilateral agreements where it's more amenable to the way Malaysia wants to do things in a more, I suppose, allegedly monopolistic way.
And Yuling, what are the economic consequences if we delay this any further? Because this has been going on for years, actually, even before COVID-19.
Well, yes. I mean, Malaysia is so reliant on foreign workers. There have been shortages in the past. It's gotten worse. You know, if we talk across economic subsectors, you know, this 30% shortage is even discussed elsewhere. I mean, plantation sector, there's, you know, there's talk about teams of workers being poached from one plantation to the other. And then, you know, if you look at the malls, there's even the shops are even said to be short, you know, have shortages. I think if you walk around, right, some of them will paste a little sign to sort of say, yeah, we're short of workers. So please, you know, understand our situations.
But just a quick one. Is this what business is asking for? These very clear agencies, or is this just something that was constructed by the government?
I think businesses just have to go with what the government is constructing, right? I mean, they just have to say that, look, we want these workers to come in. You know, these bottlenecks are happening, and they're just asking, okay, tell us the route. So they want to know the route.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kaw Yew Ling, economist at Sergi Enam Advisors, giving us the lowdown in terms of this foreign labour situation.
So and why frustrating.
Is as to why the bottlenecks still exist.
It's so frustrating, honestly.
Yeah. Who decided on these 25 companies? Is there any disclosure on why they were specifically picked?
And Yew Ling is right. Business will just follow what is guided by the government. And if we're going to do bilateral negotiations, then what's the point of ILO?
Yeah, I think just a greater level of transparency is better. And basically, you want to protect the rights of these workers, right, at all times. You don't want to pick a country where standards are lower and we'll just go with that. What does it say about us as a country?
We can't operate on the lowest denominator.
Exactly. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.